So this is a re-recording of today's morning shiur. Normally, these shiurim are live in the Beis Medrash after davening, or live recordings. It's been a hard couple of days. There's a lot going on in Eretz Yisrael, and just this morning I was so tired and discombobulated that some of the ideas I expressed came out very disoriented, as I figured I would re-record them for those who are following this series or are just interested. So I'm actually in the car, so I hope this recording is clear. Again, I'm taking safety precautions. Recording in the car. So one of the traits, the trait I spoke about this morning, is the trait of Eino Machzik Tova. That person, when he studies Torah, if he wants to acquire more Torah, he shouldn't be Machzik Tova Liatzmo. He shouldn't feel accomplished and surpassing, unique or exceptional. Now this phrase, of course, reminds us of a very famous statement of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was a master teacher, one of the students of Hillel, well known for his pacifist leanings during the Churban Beis HaMikdash Sheni, securing Yavne, the Academy of Torah Scholars, securing its safety, even at the cost of enabling the Romans to enter Yerushalayim, a very, at that time, controversial move. He was also the Rebbe of many, many Rabbanim. He would actually have nicknames for his Talmidim. We have recordings of that, but probably the two most prominent ones to us are Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, who in turn became the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai can be called the Grand Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva. Anyway, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in Pirkei Avos famously states at a different point in Pirkei Avos, Im lamadita Torah harbe al tachzik tova liatzmacha, ki lekach notzarta. So it's pretty much the same phrase. You shouldn't be machzik tova liatzmacha. And this raises a very interesting question, and I would say a very touchy issue. Should we, as communities, as yeshivos, as a culture, should we create a culture which celebrates, creates celebrity out of Talmidei Chachamim? Should we convey a feeling, not just at a cultural level, but to Talmidei Chachamim, that they are of a surpassing importance, that they have an elevated status, that their pursuit of Talmud Torah is something which grants them superior identity? Or should we follow the language of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, literally, Al tachzik tova liatzmacha? That's your purpose, that's your baseline. You're in this world to study Torah, you're not accomplishing anything fantastic or spectacular. So, obviously we're living at a point in time where certainly in the overall yeshiva world, this is of great emphasis. It could be traced back. I know it's hard. Most people feel as if the realities that they're living in existed forever. They're perennial. Everything has a root, and everything is cyclical. And things change. Sometimes it takes 50, 60 years for them to change, but they change. I think the roots are in the early part of the 20th century. What happened in the early part of the 20th century was two things. First of all, just as the yeshiva world was coming into its own, and just as the Hasidic Shavuot was coming into its own, these are two movements that begin late part of the 18th century, early part of the 19th century, Yeshiva movement. All of a sudden, Eastern Europe, which is ground zero for the Yeshiva movement, ground zero for much of Hasidus, experiences terrible, terrible poverty. Post-World War I, the world was flung into a financial crisis. Jews are always on the bottom of the food chain, and Jews in Eastern Europe are still on the bottom of the food chain. And a lot of the yeshiva system convulses. So let me tell you a personal story about my own great-grandfather, who I met here and there, sketchy memories of my great-grandfather, but I heard stories about him, Rav Menachem Mendel Tarragon, who was supposed to study Torah his whole life and was set up to study Torah his entire life with financial arrangements, I believe, from his father-in-law. Maybe there are family members listening. Baruch Hashem is a nice, large family for my great-grandfather. But supposedly he was set up, it was called Kest, where you were provided with your financial needs. And then World War I broke out, and evidently the financial fortunes of whoever his father-in-law was, my great-great-great-great-grandfather, or financial fortunes of the general community, took a nosedive. And supposedly all those financial promises couldn't be honored. And he never really had a parnassa, or a classic parnassa. He wasn't trained in that classic sense. So in that context, the stature of yeshiva bachrim, I'm not as familiar with the Hasidic shevel, but certainly in the yeshiva world, the stature of Talmid Chachamim became depressed. They're feeding off of other people. People are struggling as it is, living meager lives. A lot of the stories we hear about the yeshiva bachar tend to be post-World War I imageries about how meager and poor, how ragtag and flimsy the conditions were. So in that context, and Rav Lichtenstein told us this, there was an attempt to compensate. And the way to compensate was to inflate the value of yeshiva bachar, to build up their self-esteem, their profile, both to themselves and as well as to the community surrounding them. And you know, one thing led to another, and I think the second part of this puzzle is in America. In America, building Torah roots was very, very laborious. You know, we, Baruch Hashem, live with the luxury of yeshivos and shuls and learning, and it took a while for it to stick. And there was a lot of mocking and scorning about Torah, scorning, doubting whether it would ever occur. So again, to compensate, the yeshiva bachar had to be pitched, had to be placed on a perch that was saintly, that was surpassing, that was elevated. It wasn't always true. Those sentiments are not in sync with what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is encouraging. Al tachzik tova li'atzmacha. I'm sure there are ways to interpret Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Every statement in Pirkei Avos has enough flexibility to allow multiple interpretations. For example, a very famous statement, Pasba melech tocha, mayim b'masur atishta, you should learn Torah without comfort, without leisure, without luxury. So what happens when you build yeshivas that are comfortable? So some have suggested, I guess half in jest, that the way to read the Mishnah is Kachi Darka Shel Torah. That's how you should learn Torah. Pasta Melech Tochal, Migar, bread, salt, Mayim B'Masur Tishta, Velatish. Of course not. These are yeshiva bachar. In any event, if you take a look at, let's say, the Sephardic world, which didn't undergo the yeshiva movement with a capital Y, at least until recently, this whole elevated status of Talmidei Chachamim, rabbis is something different, but rabbis have a particular role, but Talmidei Chachamim don't serve as rabbis, are not afforded that same cultural station. Now, there are pros and there are cons. Obviously, I live in a world in which it isn't boosted as much. I think my world pays a price, pays a very heavy price. When you don't create Torah celebrities or celebrities of religion, people look for celebrities elsewhere. And there's definitely a cultural infiltration, which I'm uncomfortable with. I'm also less comfortable with creating that artificial status for yeshiva bachrim. First of all, it leads to a lot of artificial sense of self rather than real sense of accomplishment. Leads to snobbery, leads to snubbing people who aren't in the yeshiva world, a lot of exclusionary positions. But like everything else, there's pros and cons, and we live in a particular period of time in which it's emphasized and accentuated. So this is another one of the 48 portals of Torah. Al tachzik tova li'atzmacha. Seeing Torah, witnessing Torah as your station, your duty, your responsibility. If you fail to study Torah, you have defaulted from your baseline. If you study Torah, you're not deserving of any special accolades or any special awards.